That's me. Judges 6 and 11 says, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it," to hide the wheat from the Midianites. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Another rendition says, "The angel appeared and spoke to Gideon, The Lord is helping you. You are a strong warrior." You're a strong warrior. Gideon's name means warrior. Verse 23 and 24 says, "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Fear not." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah is peace. God is peace. Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Build an altar. Build an altar. Why don't we just lift our voices or lift your hands, whatever you're able to do. I know you got your Bibles in your hands. They're at home. Would you just lift your voices? Come on. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, your grace and power, God, today. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that is where we are worshiping, God, at home, in the garage, God, in the living room, Lord. God, in the basement, God. Or Lord, in the kitchen, God, in the office, Lord. Here in the sanctuary, God, we pray that your will would be done, God. We would give you the praise and the glory and the honor, God, for all that you do and all that you're going to do. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Verse 28 says that the Midianites subdued the children of Israel so that they could not lift up their heads no more. The Father's Day is a day that society has deemed as a day of celebrating fathers. But for those today that have gathered, we have a Heavenly Father. And we ought to be celebrating our Heavenly Father every day. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I told Michaela last night, she wanted to be Sundays, obviously, are busy for Pastor. And last night, before I went to bed, she wanted me to open up one of my Father's Day presents, and then I could open up the other one today. And she said, are you having a good Father's Day so far? And I said, oh, baby, living in this house with you and Mommy, it's like Father's Day all the time. But Father's Day offers a bouquet of mixed emotions for many. For some, it's the wistfulness of wishing that things could be different or would have been different. And maybe for anger, or when we think of old wounds and envy or of the relationships that others have with their fathers or with their dads. Maybe that will lead to jealousy if we're not careful. But it's also the choice of positive emotions. Emotions are a choice. If you don't realize that, you do have regard for your emotions. And the best things in life are not things, but they're memories. And so it's things that we got to understand. And I want to speak to the men today, or the father figures here for a second. The responsibility that God has placed on us. The need for more godly men. Not necessarily just fathers, just godly men. You may not be the biological father. You may be a stepfather or an adoptive father. You may be an elder in the life of a family. Blessed, Sister Panero and I are blessed to have an elder in our life. And it's sobering when we begin to realize the lack of godly men in society. If we had more godly men in society, we perhaps would not have some of the godlessness in society. The impact that a father has is huge. And I want to encourage the fathers, the husbands, the men today to ensure that your responsibility is not just to provide a clean and safe and living environment for the homes, but we need to ensure that we lead our families. In fact, God has called us and given us a mandate to ensure what Ephesians 6 and 4 says, to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means to bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Men, it's up to us to lead, to guide, to teach, to instruct. Not just talk about it, but be all about it. And you say, well, I didn't have a good example, and I'll give you that. You may not have had a good example, but can I tell you, you have the Word of God, and the Word of God has every answer that you can need. If it doesn't give it to you plain and simple, it'll give you a principle. It'll give you at least a roadmap. It'll give you the instruction that you need to lead your family. We come to our scripture text with a man named Gideon. His name means warrior. And in our scripture text, the angel of the Lord calls him and says, you are a mighty man of valor. Didn't just say you're a mighty man. Didn't say that you're gonna be a man of valor. He says, you are a mighty man of valor. He was telling him that you're a man of virtue. You're a man of strength. You're a man of power. You're a man of substance, of boldness, of courage. You see, God calls you as He sees you. The scripture tells us that He calleth those things that are not as though they are. I want to remind us today, all of us, to let God define who you are. Don't let society, don't let science, don't let opinions, don't let philosophy or people to get a grip on your mind and in your life to define who you are. God defines who you are. Let's not forget what Genesis 2 and 7, it said, and God formed man from the dust of the earth, and He breathed in the man, and man became a living soul. It's God's breath in our lungs. It's God's spirit that we walk through. It's Zechariah that tells us it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I want to be led by God. I want to be Spirit led. I want God to define me as a man. The devil will tell you who you were, and he'll try to keep you in that realm of who you were. But thanks be to God, I'm not who I used to be. I am a child of the Most High God, and I'm going to let Him define me. Here we are, our encounter with Gideon, this mighty man of valor. He's hiding behind the wine press. That's what the scripture says. It says he was threshing wheat behind the wine press when the angel of the Lord comes upon him. He was, as the scripture would tell us, he was hiding from the enemy. In fact, this whole family and this whole community and these people, the people of God, were hiding from the enemy. The scripture tells us that they had resorted to dens and to caves, and they were hiding from the enemy. If you read that in your scripture, in Judges chapter 6, it tells us that they were hiding out. They were impoverished. They were in a bad situation. And so Gideon was not threshing wheat at the threshing floor. That's where you would normally thresh wheat. But the scripture tells us that he was threshing wheat hiding behind the wine press. He was just trying to get enough to scrape by. He was trying to hide what he had from the enemy. There was obviously the people of God were in fear. The scripture tells us in Judges 6 and 2 that the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And they, because of that, Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. That's not a pretty sight. It is not the will of God. Hear Pastor Panero. It is not the will of God that the people of God live in fear.
Right.
And I'm amazed that people that say that they're Holy Ghost filled, baptized in Jesus' name, and they're running around in the realm of panic and scared and fearful. You got to be able to discern the difference between fear and carefulness. You need to be able to discern the difference between being informed and understanding the data and not being consumed what is being fed to you. But you need to understand, I will not die of fear. I may die of cancer. I may die of sickness. I may die in a car wreck, but I will not die from fear. I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. It's got to go. It's got to get out. I don't want it in the church. And if this offends you, there's a lot of other churches. Take your key, take your bags, and adios. But we, the people of God, we're going to serve God because we serve a God that is a Jehovah Shalom. The God of peace. Peace. And when you're walking in peace, you walk with the peace that passeth understanding. Well, I don't understand this. I don't either. I don't understand how Gideon, supposed to be the people of God, hiding behind the wine press, not even at the threshing floor. Just that doesn't make sense. And he's in hiding. And the Lord sent an angel to visit him. You understand that God's ways on our ways and his thoughts on our thoughts. Gideon is living under the conditions of an impoverished person. God does not want us to live below the blessings that he provides for his people. God is not interested in his people walking down a path that he has no intention for us to walk down. We got to understand that Gideon was not even living to the expectations that his name was. I understand that there's folks today that we have been a day late and a dollar short for some length of time. We have been sometimes seen so many highs and lows, and they talk about the economy being a V, and some folks are saying, well, that's been my whole life. It's been up and it's been down. Not just the economy. I've been up and down with my relationships and my walk with God and friendships and from jobs. Can I tell you, it is the will of God that you are saved. It is the will of God that you hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. It is the will of God, that we be not conformed to this world, but that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's what Paul tells Timothy. He said, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. What is a sound mind? It means self-control in your mind. It means self-discipline in our mind. That means that you have to have balance in your life. You gotta have balance in your mind. You cannot be spiritually way up here today and mentally way up here today and then read something or have not have enough coffee for the day or don't get your workout in and then you're hanging on by a thread. Saints of God, living for the Lord in these last days. We're living in the last days and it's real time and it's in real color, and the scripture has not just been black and white anymore. It is now given color and life. We're able to see for ourselves every day something in Scripture. There are prophecy after prophecy that are being unfolded right now. There are things that are about to take place. If we're not careful, we're going to be distracted when the trumpet sounds. There's things that the Scripture has told us that we're learning from Gideon today, that Gideon was not living up to his potential that God intended for him. Think about this. Let me read in our scripture setting that Gideon had his elevator speech ready. You read in the scripture, the angel of the Lord comes to him in Judges 6 and 13, and he begins to tell the angel of the Lord, if God's with us and I'm going to be a mighty man of valor, then why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. You know, You need to remember some things. The enemy of your soul is the enemy of your soul. He's your adversary. He's not for you. He never has been. And he never will. He calls you by your sin. He defines you by your past. His methods are always been what they were and are. Head games, manipulation, worry and doubt, discord. Discord, by the way, is an abomination. Unbelief, isolation, self-image, pride. Well, I'm qualified for this and for that. Gossip. That sounds kind of like the works of the flesh, not the works of the Spirit. In fact, Paul gives us a warning. And I'm thankful for the Scripture that we have warnings. We have the answers to the test. And the Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He will get advantage of us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if we allow him to. We are not ignorant of his devices. That means we are informed of his devices. The enemy sometimes knows more about you than you know about yourself. And it is a shame that we give the credit more to the enemy than we do God and faith and power and prayer. That ought not to be for a Holy Ghost filled believer. I understand if somebody doesn't have the Holy Ghost, they're not walking in that realm. But if you got the Holy Ghost, you don't want to give any room for the devil. And I don't want to give him any means for an entrapment. And the Scripture tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us, notice this, together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages, notice this, to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Notice this. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You've got to walk in them. So I said all that to build a foundation for the next few moments of what I want to nail down on here tonight, this morning. We come to Gideon at the encounter with the angel, and he basically provides an offering for the angel. He provides meat, unleavened cakes, and broth, and he lays it on the rock, and the angel of the Lord puts forth the end of his staff, and fire rose up. I'm reading from Judges 6:21. And what happens next is what changed the trajectory for Gideon. We read in Judges 6 that Gideon builds an altar. Everything changed after Gideon builds an altar. Can anybody relate to this morning? That when you started praying instead of whining, when you started praying instead of putting on that pity party shirt, when you started praying instead of complaining or sowing discord, when you started praying instead of crying, woe is me, poor Vesito, poor baby, right? Everything changed when Gideon built an altar. Have you noticed that people begin to change? You begin to change. Circumstances begin to change. The boss changed. The pastor changes. The teacher changes. It's like everything changes. Now it's because you finally got in alignment with the Spirit and with what God wants to do for them or for you. And you started keeping your eyes on Jesus and started understanding that, you know what? I got to build an altar. You see that the besetting sin of Gideon's family was idolatry. And it's the same thing today, that the besetting sin of humanity is things and its places, and it's what can we get? How much education can we get? How much money can we get? How many more material things can we get? And the scripture tells us heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word stands forever. And the blessings of God, proverb writer says, addeth no sorrow to it. The blessings of God that we define as a blessing a lot of times is stuff, and that stuff controls us. And we got to understand, saints of God, if you want things to change, if you need things to change, it's not standing at the top of your lungs and screaming, I want change, but you have to change. And you have to build an altar, and the altar has to have something on the altar, because an altar is a place where the flesh is placed on there, and the fire consumes the flesh. But a lot of us don't have altars, or the altars are broken, or we need to go back and repair those altars, or we have altars and the altars are dirty and they're dusty. But saints of God, I'm preaching to everybody under the sound of my voice. You got to look at the scripture of Gideon. Everything changed for Gideon when he built an altar. And I wonder this morning, if we want things to change, and we need things to change in our world, in our community, in our lives, and in our family, we got to make sure first and foremost that we build an altar, and that altar is in tip-top shape. Your relationship with your wife and your relationship with your brother should not be better than it is with your heavenly Father. If there's any relationship, you want to make sure that is tight and that is good, and that you're close with somebody. If you want a BFF, you need a BFF with Jesus today. You got to build an altar. Everything changed for Gideon when he built an altar. Gideon was broken of self sufficiency and fear when he surrendered to the Lord. Think about this. Gideon goes after he built an altar, and he begins to walk in alignment with the Lord. Because after he built an altar, it's called Jehovah Shalom, the peace. God gives him peace. The scripture tells us in Thessalonians that the Lord himself will give you peace by all means. Powerful Bible verse. I mentioned it earlier in the 9 o'clock service, but I was embarrassed that I forgot about that Bible verse till this week. You know, going back and reading it, and it's like, oh my goodness, Lord. But the Lord himself will give you peace by all means. Powerful, powerful Bible verse. But Gideon begins to walk in alignment with the Lord, no longer realizing who he was not, but walking in who God had commissioned him to be. Do you know that it's never as bad as it looks if God's in it? Just saying. In fact, Isaiah 41:10 tells us, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. But we encounter Gideon. And Gideon begins to walk in alignment. And he's not just encountering the Lord, but he is actually listening to the Lord. Because we read in Judges chapter 6 and verse 23, there's conversation now between him and the Lord. If you don't have an altar, there's not going to be no conversation between you and the Lord. That's part of the problem some of us are having, and people are having, and that they're not having conversation. So everything is one-sided. They have to use dialogue. You talk to him and he talks to you. You talk to him and he talks to you. And so the Lord tells him, I there's something I need you to do. I need you to take your father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in ordered place. Notice this, in the ordered place. God gave Gideon instruction on what to do. And God gave Gideon peace on how to do it. He told him, what you're going to use, I've equipped you, this is what you're going to do. But the instruction came because Gideon built an altar. The openness, the receptiveness of Gideon, it all came into alignment because he built an altar. Imagine it. He takes his father's religion and form of worship, and he tears it down. Tears down the graven images and uses those things to make an altar. And he offered a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which he cut down. Yeah. And you would think that the father would be up in an uproar and everything would be out of control. But when you're walking with the Lord, and you and the Lord have a relationship, and you know, thus saith the word of God, and you're being led of the Spirit, you're going to have peace. Gideon was walking with peace. Notice this. Listen to Pastor Pinero. Before Gideon led the 300 men, he had to build an altar. So you need to read your Bible, Gideon, Judges chapter 7. But before Gideon could lead a ministry or live up to the full potential of what God intended for him, he had to lead his family. The first person, one of the first people to follow after Gideon was his family. One of the first things that Gideon did was he took a stand and he listened and he obeyed what the word of God had said. He understood what that meant to his father, I'm sure, no doubt about it. But you know what? When God asked him to do something, he did it. And he had peace when he did it because he built an altar. Some of us, we haven't built an altar and so we have no peace. Or we have an altar and we come to it only in time of need. Or we have an altar and we gotta be reminded. And that's okay. That's what a pastor and a preacher is for, to remind us and to teach us and to coach us about some things. But can I tell you, saints of God, now is not the time to play church and to pick sides. You're either on the Lord's side and you're all in, or you're out. You can't live lukewarm. You shouldn't have been at any time anyways. But can I tell here, Pastor Pinero, if there's ever a time to be on fire for God and live for God, it is right now. Please get right, stay right, or you're going to get left.
Right.
But he built an altar. And everything changed, Elder, when Gideon built an altar. Challenging the men of Revival Tabernacle tonight, this morning. If you build an altar for yourself, your family will follow you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to go into the statistics of the exponential influence that a father has in the home in regards to religion. Not even, I'm just going to use the word religion. You know how I feel about that word, but I'm going to use it for sake of relevancy. In fact, if you refer to my Father's Day message from 2019, I have those statistics there. But pastors, they're not my kids. But aren't you the priest of your home? Well, they don't listen. Build an altar. Well, you don't know. Build an altar. Try it. Build an altar. Well, no, yeah. Build an altar. But you know, just do it, man. Just do it. Are we the people of God? The people of God pray. You know, Pastor, I knew you couldn't preach a message without talking about prayer. Well, prayer is a lot like breathing. If you don't pray, you're not spiritually breathing. There's no way to slice and dice it. And you know, I've reached a point as a pastorship that I'm not going to cheerlead. We're too close to the finish line. I'll root you on. I'll pull you. I'll drag you if you grab that other end of the rope. But you got to have the want to. You got to do it. And you're going to fall. I'm going to tell you, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. It's okay. Get back up. Hold on to that rope. and we'll drag and we'll bite and we'll scratch and we'll get there. But if the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. We all fall in one of those, into one of some category here. We're either people of God. We're either called by his name. We can all use an extra dose of humility. And we definitely can pray and we should be seeking the face of God. And maybe there's some wicked ways that rise up and that means we turn from it. It doesn't mean that you're entertaining it. It means that if wickedness comes up, then we turn from it. And then we hear from heaven. We don't hear from everything else. And then we close our ear to heaven and say, well, I don't want to hear what you're saying, preacher or pastor. I don't want to be submitted to the word of God. I want to be submitted to something else. Hey, God will start forgiving and God will start healing and God will start saving the land. There's so many people in this world that are living in confusion and they're tormented in their mind and they're hiding out and they become quarantined from the Lord. They become isolated and they become spiritually distant from God, God's man, and God's word. It's because they don't have an altar. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. That is not just for people outside the church. That is for people in the church. It's talking about religious people. Being United Pentecostal is religious. If you don't have a prayer life with God, dressing holy and modest can become a form of religion. Talking about scripture can become a form of religion. If you're not practicing it and living it. This is going to hurt. I would tell you, take a deep breath. Well, you should. You need to take a deep breath. Let it come out of your ears. But there's going to be some folks that come to church every time the church doors are open. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to make it into heaven. Because they have a form of religion.
Right.
And they haven't built an altar. Got to build an altar. Got to build an altar. Got to build an altar. 2 Corinthians 12:10 tells us, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities, in persecutions. You know, Brother Jurazic, for the first time in a long time, I have personally felt that I've suffered some persecution. For the first time in a long time. In distresses for Christ's sake. For the first time in a long time, Brother Bonham, I have felt some distresses for Christ's sake. My reality and my perception. But then, like every other time, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Do you notice that when you maybe are the weakest emotionally and physically and mentally, and you draw closer to God, that's when you are the strongest with the Lord. I believe I'm preaching to a lot of folks that have the spirit of Gideon up inside them that just needs to be released. You're not living for God with your full potential. I believe there's some folks that get the revelation this morning that if you would just build an altar again, otra vez, as we stand around the sanctuary. And before you place anybody or anything on the altar, put yourself on the altar.
Yeah.
What David talked about in Psalm 51. Created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes it's the spirit that's not right. Maybe the information that's coming out is right, but maybe the spirit's wrong. You've got to build an altar. Gideon was right. The words that he was speaking was right. But his spirit was out of whack. His spirit wasn't in alignment with the Lord. And it got in alignment with the Lord when he built an altar. So right where we are, you got an altar at your chair. You've got more room than we've ever had in this sanctuary to pray, to kneel, to talk to the Lord. Would you lift your hands all around the sanctuary? It's altar call time at Revival Tabernacle. That's it. That's it. At home. I think the Lord has allowed some of this to happen because there are some folks at home that you need an altar rebuilt in your home. Right now, do it. Kneel before the Lord. Get off that couch and get away from that kitchen table and kneel before the Lord and humble yourself before the sight of God. Come on. He's so good to us. Come on. Begin to build an altar of prayer. Begin to put people, places, and things on the altar. Come on, there's some mighty warriors, some women of prayer, some men of prayer, some ladies that could walk in dominion and men that could walk in authority. Come on, God has positioned so many of you all around to let your light shine. Let's not miss the opportunity, but build an altar. Before you can lead a ministry, before you can lead others, you got to build an altar and you got to lead your family. Come on, some of us want to lead so bad, but you're not leading your family. You got to lead your family. You got to build an altar. Come on. Make sure you have clean hands and a pure heart. Come on. You're either submitted to the Word of God, the man of God, the voice of God. Come on. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. God, help me this morning to push, to persevere, to lead my family. Help me to be the wife and the woman and the mother that will support the man of the home. Come on. He's got it just as hard as anybody else. He's trying to navigate through this pandemic and this change just like everyone else. He needs support. He doesn't need you criticizing and poking at him. He needs your support. He needs you to pray for him. He needs you to know that you got his back, that you love him. Those kids need to see mom and dad on the same page. Come on. Don't be distracted. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the